You are listening to John Diard's Life Spa, your premier source for health news and Ayurveda, where modern science meets ancient wisdom.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. John Diard, and welcome to the Life Spa podcast, where we prove the ancient medical wisdom of Ayurveda with modern science. And today, we have a really special topic to discuss, and it's called the Ayurvedic alternatives to Ozempic. Obviously, Ozempic is just taking the whole country by storm. Everybody wants to lose those unwanted pounds. Well, it turns out that in Ayurveda, there are a host of specific foods that actually increase your GLP-1-like agonists. In other words, they actually mimic the effect of Ozempic, and we're going to get into that in great detail. We're going to talk about the modern science and the risk and the issues of Ozempic. Then I'm going to go into every possible way Ayurveda suggests you can find that ideal weight by bringing your body into ideal balance, as opposed to just focusing only on the weight. Ayurveda doesn't do that. It wants to treat the function underlying the issues that you might have, and whether it be weight or high cholesterol or high blood pressure or high blood sugar, it all boils down to some underlying fundamental imbalances. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to dive in deep. It's going to be a little bit of a lengthy discussion, so hang in there with me. I've got a lot of science to review and a lot of techniques that I'm going to give you that you can start practicing at home. All right, so if you're obviously watching this on YouTube, please subscribe to our channel or any platform. If you're watching us at lifespa.com, which is our website, please subscribe to our newsletter. Get this information on a regular basis so you don't miss anything. And also, on your way out, check out our Ayurvedic store. We have all their organic herbs and skincare and books and tapes. All the knowledge is there. We have over 1,500 articles on lifespa.com, which are free. You just type in your health concern, find out exactly what concern you have, read the article, and hopefully that article will give you the ancient wisdom and the modern science that you can actually find a solution on your own. All right, so let's dive in here. First of all, what is Ozempic? What is a GLP-1 agonist? Well, GLP-1 is a peptide made in your gut that actually helps the body produce insulin. And that helps to lower your blood sugar. And it also helps to, in its own way, help curb your appetite. It helps you empty your stomach faster. And it helps to kind of stave off any hunger pang. So you just don't eat as much. And obviously, it's taking the country by storm because it works and people like it. It's called a glucagon-like peptide, which is not like glucagon. Glucagon is the opposite of insulin. Insulin puts the sugar from your bloodstream into your cells. And if too much goes into your cells and your blood sugar lowers, the body will secrete glucagon from the alpha cells in your pancreas, and insulin is produced from the beta cells in your pancreas, and that glucagon will raise your blood sugar to help make sure you're not in an emergency low blood sugar state. So it's called the glucagon-like protein or peptide 1, but it actually functions more like insulin, just to make sure you're clear on how it works. Obviously, the issues that everybody's heard about with Ozempic, whether it be the long-term or the short-term versions, one is extremely expensive. Two, the issue with nausea and side effects and digestive issues, as well as maybe the main concern is people losing weight. So we're going to dive into all of that in great detail. So in Ayurveda, when I first got into Ayurvedic medicine back in the early or late 1980s, and I came back and I got into practice in 1986 and 87. It was really interesting that the concept of weight loss was completely opposite to the concept that we have today. The concept we have today is calorie restrict, don't eat anything, low fat, low carb, everything, just reduce your calories and don't eat as many calories as you possibly can. Some version of that is what was the plan. Well, it turns out that in Ayurvedic medicine, they understood that stress was the culprit of weight gain. When the body's under stress, it'll take any fat reserve fuel and store it under the mattress in case the war never ends. If the body's under chronic stress all day long, 24/7, going here, going there, constant incoming, then the body's going to produce more cholesterol, which is what's required to make stress-fighting hormones. So your cholesterol levels will go up in the name of the emergency response to give you more hormone to fight the stress. If you're under chronic stress in your life, you're going to have higher blood pressure to get you up a tree to save your life a little bit better, right? So all the kind of chronic issues we have today, like metabolic syndrome, which is high blood pressure, high blood sugar, high cholesterol levels, extra weight around your belly, all these are results from stress. And so what was interesting was Ayurveda said, well, let's treat the stress, which Ayurveda called vata. Vata means air. Air moves really fast. And the nervous system also moves really fast. And so when you have a lot of incoming sensory stimulation, your vata, which is moving fast, on top of a lifestyle, which is moving fast, starts, and then if you're eating a lot of, you know, cold, dry foods really fast, like fast food with ice and your milkshake and all of that, you're a cold and dry body type. Think of vata like winter and the qualities of vata. People who have a vata constitution, they have more like winter qualities inside of them. So they're always cold and they're always dry. They're always putting on a cover, putting on a sweater, putting on a hat, right? You know people like that. And there's other body types that are thrown off the covers, never want to wear a sweater or a hat. So we all are different aspects of nature. So some body types are more winter-like, cold and dry all the time. Some are summer-like, which is called pitta, and they never wear a hat, don't ever need to put the covers on, they're always throwing the covers off, and they're fiery and competitive, and that's fire, and they're driven and competitive. And then there's body types called kapha, which are more like spring. And spring is earthy and watery. It's like the rains come in the spring. The earth holds on to more water in the spring. And the kapha body type generally holds on to more water, is heavier, easier going, calmer. Tend to gain weight a little bit easier because they're hypometabolic, but they're incredibly easy to be around because they're calm. The pitta types, fiery, competitive driven, not always so easy to be around because they can lash out, be competitive, you know, but they tend to overheat or inflame. And the vata types are the ones that are very sensitive. And if you have a lot of vata, a lot of stress, and you are a vata body type, and you're eating winter aggravating foods like cold foods and icy things and raw foods that don't exist in the winter if you're living off the land, you stack all that winter, all that vata. So that vata aggravates the nervous system, and the nervous system triggers a stress response that produces the weight gain, the high blood pressure, the high blood sugar, the high cholesterol, all of that. So we have to treat the vata, which is the stress for all body types. But the vata body type takes a bigger beating because they're a cold body type in a cold season, eating cold foods with a lot of stress and incoming. We stack those qualities of air, of moving really fast. Air moves really fast. Pitta is a little more stable. Kapha, earth and water, very stable. They handle the stress better. Pitta's kind of fire and burn through that stress, but the vata types take a bit of a beating. But every single body type, doesn't matter who you are, is going to be vulnerable to stress and metabolic syndrome and all these issues that we're using Ozempic for. So when you take our body type questionnaire, which I invite you to do, it's free, it's really cool, it's simple, and it gives you a whole printout about what your body type is, tells you what your mental profile, emotional profile, physical profile, behavioral profile, gives you your overall body type, but also gives you more information than just whether you're vata, pitta, or kapha. It tells I'm mentally vata, pitta, or kapha, I'm emotionally vata, pitta, or kapha, I'm behaviorally vata, pitta, or kapha. It gives you way more kind of drilling down granular detail about your particular constitution, your likes and strengths and weaknesses, and how you can adjust your body type, your lifestyle for that. So that's sort of what the cause of this is. And in Ayurvedic medicine, what was really interesting was that the treatment for weight gain, the treatment for high cholesterol, the treatment for heart disease, the treatment for high blood pressure was to balance your vata. Which is really interesting because if you look at the vata balancing grocery list, which is based on my book, The Three Season Diet, which is the three harvests in nature. You have a summer harvest, a winter harvest, and a summer harvest, a fall harvest for winter eating, and you have a spring harvest. So my book was called The Three Season Diet, which is, of course, there are four seasons, but nature does take rest. So there's three harvests, which means we interact with nature in three different seasons, right? So we have a fall harvest for winter eating, a spring harvest, and a summer harvest. We all know about that. And in the article associated with this video, you can download the free grocery list for the winter body type or the winter time or the vata calming foods, which are harvested in the fall for the winter. You can download all the grocery lists and just eat, you know, more of the foods on the spring grocery list in the spring, eat more of the foods on the summer list in the summer, and eat more of the foods in the winter list during those winter cold months. Now, winter is cold and dry. Stress is aggravating your nervous system, which makes your nervous system move very fast. So the foods in the winter are, like the squirrels eat nuts and seeds. They're calming, heavy, fatty, and protein rich. They calm your nervous system down. So it turns out that those foods are the ones that Ayurveda prescribed for weight gain for thousands of years. And it turns out that those foods have the highest amount of GLP-1-like activity. In other words, they're going to boost your GLP-1. And I was sort of blown away by this when I first did the research in this. I was like, oh my goodness, Ayurveda was right all along. You don't starve the body when it's gained weight. And the body just thinks, I'm starving, I'm going to store more fat. That's why these weight loss diets don't work. Ayurveda said, treat the upstream cause. Give the body the healthy foods, but foods that will increase your natural production of GLP-1 and also calm your nervous system so the body feels like the war is over and it can start burning that reserve fuel and not find itself starving and storing fat because it thinks the war might never end and I'm constantly being chased up a tree by a bear, right? So that was kind of the aha moment. And I want to talk about some of those foods, all the foods that I dug into the research. I'm going to just go through a list of all the things that will increase your GLP-1 naturally. And then we're going to get into ideas of other tools that will increase your GLP-1, like how do you handle the stress, like the research on meditation, the research on, resetting your digestive function. So you have a coordinated effort of stomach acid, bioflow, pancreatic enzymes. You don't find yourself bubble wrapping your diet and just taking foods out of your diet to somehow lose weight and then find yourself craving what you took out and then binging on what you took out and finding that this whole thing seems to backfire. And then I also did a study back in 2000 with about 18 people, an 8-week weight loss study using Ayurvedic principles. And the results of that are phenomenal. So I highly recommend you stay with me on the end. That's at the end of the video. I'm going to give you all the research and the results of that study. And it wasn't just about weight loss. It was about anxiety and worry and depression and sleep. The results were phenomenal. But when you actually treat the upstream cause, you get the weight loss you're looking for, but the body and the mind all come into balance as well. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's dive in to all of that. Let's talk about some of the research on some of these seasonal foods. For example, like I said, we know that winter is a cold, dry time of the year. So that's going to aggravate the nervous system. That's where stress begins. So nature provided the antidote to the tendency to get stressed out during the season you're most likely to get stressed out, which is the winter season, right? And you can use these foods any time of year as a medicine diet where you would get on, fix the stress, lose the weight, and get off. So once you get healthy, then you would just download the winter, fall, winter grocery list, the spring grocery list, summer grocery list, Circle the foods on those lists that you like. Give yourself permission to eat more of those foods, and now you're eating in a seasonal way. On those grocery lists, the foods that have an asterisk on them are the superfoods for that season. So in the winter grocery list, the ones with the asterisk are the superfoods for winter. In the spring, the asterisks are the superfoods for the spring. In the summer, asterisk superfood for the summer. So really easy, just circle the foods. Don't have to eat everything or only that diet. Just eat more of those foods. Get medicinal doses of those foods in those seasons. But if you are trying to lose weight, trying to bring your metabolic health back into balance, well, then we want to tackle the upstream cause, which is your Vata. So you can employ the Vata balancing grocery list, the winter grocery list, the GLP-1 boosting grocery list during the winter months, or whatever that you need to bring your body back into balance. And after a month or two or three of doing that, you can go back to eating in a seasonal way. Does that make sense? So just because this is the winter diet, which is important, it doesn't mean you have to wait until next winter to balance your GLP-1. You can do that right now, even in the springtime, and then go from there. All right, so let's look at some of the studies that were done. A study in 2016 did a review of all the studies, and they found that the GLP-1 boosters were increasing the amount of grains you eat, nuts you eat, avocados you eat, and eggs that you eat, and they saw a significant improvement in diabetes and metabolic syndrome. So here are the things that we say, don't eat if you want to lose weight. Don't eat nuts, don't eat grains, don't eat avocados, don't eat eggs. These are all high protein, high fat foods, and they're going to help you get. Now, obviously, the ketogenic diet, they were like, oh, maybe you have an issue, maybe there are issues, with all this grain and processed carbohydrate. But even in this study, the grains are also a part of that. But you know, in America, we don't eat the grains that come out of the ground. We bake them, we put chemicals in them, we put glyphosate in them, we do all these things to the grains to make them super highly processed, and we take out many of the nutrients in those grains. So I'm talking about taking the actual whole grain, putting it in a pot and cooking it with water and making, you know, steamy or cooking the grain so into a gruel where you can look at that and go, oh, this is definitely millet, or this is definitely amaranth, or this is definitely wheat or buckwheat or whatever it might be. Another study, when we look at some of the, in that same 2016 review, they found that olive oil and omega-3 fatty acids also increased GLP-1. Well, olive oil is when? Harvested in the fall for winter eating. That oil is an antidote to the coldness and dryness of winter. Remember, nature always provides the antidote to the extreme of each season. So in the winter, that fall harvest is going to be for winter eating. Some of that fall harvest includes fruits and things that aren't going to last through the winter. And they're going to give you a ton of sugar, which means that a lot of that excess fuel is going to be stored as fat, as reserve fuel insulation for the winter months. There was a pigging out, gorging time of the year at the end of the summer to get that extra insulation that was needed for winter. Pretty much in all mammals would do some version of that. And we can do some version of that. In fact, to deal with all that extra sugar, the body produces more amylase, which is the enzyme to break up and deliver that sugar, better than it would any other time of the year. So in other words, you have more amylase in your body in the end of the summer and the fall when all those sugars are being harvested than you do in the winter and in the spring, which is kind of cool. We are circadian beings. We still, after millions of years, are still producing a circadian rhythm with regard to how we handle sugar. And the bugs in the gut dramatically shift in the fall for handling sugar better, which we produce more of these bacteria DEETs and more amylase in the fall for getting that extra fuel into the system for reserve fuel and insulation. In the spring, when there is no carbohydrates being harvested, we have more what are called actinobacteria, which help the body burn fat as its natural source of fuel and fiber as its natural source of fuel. So it's sort of understanding that we are seasonal beings, and our gut bugs change from season to season, and the fuel supply changes from season to season, fats during the late winter and spring, and no carbohydrates at that time of the year, or very little because there's none being harvested. And then at the end of the summer, you can enjoy some of those carbohydrates and those fruits and those grains. And then the ones that will last will carry you into the winter until the grains are gone and the root vegetables are gone. And then you look at spring, which is a extremely austere harvest. It's a calorie restricted, no carbohydrate, probably have to hunt, get more fat and protein to survive during those late winter, early spring months until the harvest begins to come out of the ground. And even that early spring harvest is extremely austere. Once again, no carbohydrates. So you're in a no-carb time. The body's forced to burn any extra fuel, any fat, and that will detoxify you, which is why in our videos, do your detoxes in the spring and in the fall, because those are the transitional seasons. Anyway, there you have it. So olive oil is another GLP-1 activator. You know, I did a podcast with Mary Flynn from Brown University. You can watch that interview. And she did all that. She's specialized in research on olive oil. And she found olive oil, 1 to 3 tablespoons per day, can lower your metabolic syndrome risk. And part of the benefits of that is not just the monounsaturated fats and other things in the polyphenols, but also the activation of GLP-1 in a natural way. Omega-3 fatty acids and fish oils are on that list of GLP-1 activators as well. So if you're looking for, if you're looking to take fish oils, then you can do that either with, you know, really quality salmon, you know, 2 or 3 times a week, and make sure it's not farm-fed, but farm-raised, but it's actually natural, Atlantic, you know, wild-caught is what you want to be looking at 2 to 3 times a week. If you feel uncomfortable with that, the fish oil that we use, a lot of people have issues with fat. We use something called Mini Omega, which is taking the triglyceride form of the fish oil, the omega-3 fatty acid, breaking it down to the monoglyceride form. So it goes right into your blood, according to the patented research, 3 times as fast and stays in your blood 3 times as long, and the pill is super tiny. You don't have to take this big pill that you have to burp up all along. And I find that to be a real kind of powerful and simple way to get those, supplement your omega-3s if you don't want to eat that much fish. If you're looking for a high quality olive oil, there's a company called Fandango, like the movie company, and they won my taste test of olive oil about 15 years ago. We had about 50 different olive oils we tasted. That company won. I didn't know them. Called them up, interviewed them, and they're a small organic company in California that presses their olives the day that they pick them. They don't sit around in a big truck for days and days and days to finally get pressed. It's all small. It's right then and there. And I've been using them ever since. And they've now, since then, won like, you have over 100 medals, so they're like really cool. When you're taking olive oil, so much of it is adulterated in the grocery store, so you have to be really careful. And I can guarantee you that this is only the olive oil, and it's super high quality. So those are things to think about. Fiber is another one, soluble fiber in particular. Well, what is soluble fiber? Soluble fiber is like what you get when you take a grain and you cook it and it becomes slimy, like oats become slimy. Chia, harvested in the fall for the winter eating, becomes slimy. Flax becomes slimy. Slippery elm, licorice, marshmallow, all become slimy when you cook them down. That slimy, soluble fiber, because it's soluble, it becomes, mixes with the water. When you ingest that, that's been shown to increase your GLP-1. Well, when are all those soluble fibers harvested? In the fall for winter eating. Remember, vata, which is air, predominates in the winter. And when you're stressed out, the air moves really fast, stresses you out. The mind gets stressed, the gut-brain connection gets stressed, and you have aggravation of your nervous system. The body responds to that stress by increasing blood pressure, blood sugar, high cholesterol for the stress hormones, and to store reserve fuel under the mattress, around your belly, or wherever. So that's what we're trying to deal with now, is that upstream cause. And that's exactly what soluble fiber provides. It provides a lubricating, calming, heavy, slimy antidote to dryness, to stress. When you get stressed out, your skin gets dry. You put oil on it, it calms your nervous system down. when you put soluble fiber in your gut, the dryness, the constipation that you get in the winter, generally speaking, and more prone to that, that is going to be mitigated by soluble fiber, nuts and seeds and grains that are going to give you lubrication and soluble fiber to put a big Band-Aid, a soothing Band-Aid on that intestinal lining to allow it to not be dried out, aggravated, and irritated, and that produces an inefficient digestive assimilation and detox pathway, but also calms your nervous system via the bugs that are produced because of that soluble fiber and the gut-brain-brain-gut connection that is actually delivered by the kind of microbes that are produced when you eat the seasonal food at the right time. You get the right environment for the right bugs in the gut that calm your nervous system down. And that is crazy logical, but it's now hard science. It's just really quite beautiful. The last piece of this puzzle is protein. Protein is a, again, fall harvested winter eating. If you were living off the land, you would realize that during the late winter, early spring, if you didn't hunt, you didn't survive. Sadly, there were no vegetarian hunter-gatherers. All of our ancestors ate meat. Now, you don't have to eat meat anymore because we can supplement around that, but it is a piece of the puzzle. Every culture that survived understood that there were periods of feasts and periods of scarcity. And even in Tahiti, in the islands, the king actually mandated not eating certain foods at certain times of the year. There was restriction. Otherwise, they would overhunt, overfish, overeat, and during the periods of scarcity, they would starve to death, like what happened on Easter Island. So they knew that if they hunted all summer long, when they couldn't eat the food out of their garden fast enough, right? Then when winter would come, when they needed to hunt, they had overhunted during the summer months, and now there's nothing for them to eat. They've overhunted, and now they starve to death, right? So that was the understanding of living in harmony with nature. When nature is providing food coming out of your garden or out of nature faster than you can eat it, eat those foods. And then in the winter when you have to hunt, you can hunt and you can stay. So that hunting would be a higher protein, higher fat diet, which is what the squirrels eat, nuts, which are higher protein, higher fat, to calm that nervous system down. So proteins again become a GLP-1 activator, again to calm the nervous system down and de-stress. Studies have shown that higher protein diets increase GLP-1 better than even a high fat or a high carb diet. So they studied, this one study was till 2019, the citation is in the article, and they measured people on a high protein diet, a high fat diet, high carb, and the one that won the war in terms of more GLP-1 was the higher protein diet. And that's really important because one of the issues with Ozempic is that we end up losing muscle mass. And the research is so conclusive that as we age, we tend to lose more muscle mass. As we age, we need more protein in our diet to mitigate that tendency to lose more muscle mass. And if we do lose muscle mass, we become frail, we become at more risk of broken bones. And study after study after study shows the more muscle you can carry into your older age, the longer you can live. The stronger your legs, the longer you live. The muscles are sequestering sites for blood sugar. So they're going to store your blood sugar. So if you were an athlete, like I was an Ironman triathlete, right? So I had big legs and I was a college tennis player and a ski racer. So I had big legs because of all that. And then as I got older, we had six kids. I didn't work out as much and my legs started shrinking, right? And so when I was younger, my muscles were a storage site for all that blood sugar. But as I got older, started losing some of that muscle mass, my body got used to a metabolism that could use that muscle mass to store blood sugar. And as I got older, I started seeing my blood sugar levels going up. And now, as I'm realizing that, I've been for a while now building my muscle mass back up, eating a higher protein diet, and I'm seeing my muscle mass get better and my blood sugar getting stable again. So why that's so important is because most of us find that Well, I was told that if I eat a lower protein diet and proteins increase risk of cancer and heart disease, like meat and all that, that becomes an issue as I get older. I don't want to do that. Well, studies do show that if you were more vegetarian-esque during the first half of your life or even three quarters of your life, it would provide a level of protection against heart disease and cancers and blood pressure, blood sugar, all these things. But studies show that as you get older, your requirements for proteins change. You know, I'm not the same person I was when I was 18. I'm not the same person I was when I was 30 or 40. And I'm gonna be, what am I gonna be? 69 this summer. So I'm different and I need more protein in my diet to maintain my muscle mass, including resistance training and exercising and all that. If you're going to eat more protein, you got to put it to work. You have to work your muscles. Otherwise, it doesn't become muscle mass. So that's really important. So the point of that is that really more vegetarian diet that a lot of us ate, you know, in the first half of our life, provided levels of protection. But eating more protein, you don't lose that protection is what I'm trying to say, according to the study. So you want to make sure that's happening. And it turns out that those higher protein diets are the GLP-1 activators, which are really kind of cool, which is really, I think, really interesting as well. I linked an article about how you can, the proteins like whey protein is the number one protein to protect your body from age-related muscle mass decline. And there's study after study after study that whey protein is the best. It's sort of mother's milk protein. Our body still knows how to do that after all these years. All right, so now I'm gonna go through the list of foods that are natural GLP-1 activators. Eggs are really good in that regard. And like I said, remember, these foods, you can take them all year round or whenever you feel like you need to be, you know, kind of boost your GLP-1 or lose a little bit of weight. I'm going to give you a strategy that you can do for 3 to 4 weeks and stay here to the end when I give you that whole strategy, including increasing some of these GLP-1 foods. Eggs are one of them. Eggs are higher in protein and fat. Eggs stimulate GLP-1 and reducing hunger and enhancing satiety, which means you're happier and more comfortable. You don't need to eat. Extra virgin olive oil, healthy fats, polyphenols, and oleic acid increase GLP-1 and improve insulin sensitivity. Apple cider vinegar, also really cool. The acetic acid slows the stomach emptying and enhances the effects of GLP-1. So we know, I've written articles about this decades ago, where, you know, a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar before a meal can lower your blood sugar spike. So if you're gonna have like a dessert or something, you know, not great, that might not be a bad idea to have a little bit of apple cider vinegar and a big glass of water before you have that. That'll probably make you not as hungry for as much of it as well. If you're gonna cheat, that would be a great way to do it. Fermented foods, probiotics, and short-chain fatty acids from fermented foods also stimulate GLP-1. When do you actually eat fermented foods normally, historically, in nature? They were to preserve your vegetables. Would you need to preserve your vegetables in the summertime when the stuff's right there in your garden, cooked on the vine, you can pick it and eat it? Or during the winter, during the periods of scarcity, you'd ferment your vegetables so they would be preserved in a natural way, give you more probiotics, more rejuvenation, more GLP-1, and that actually supports a healthy regulation of your body mass, your fat metabolism during those winter months. So again, constantly in Ayurveda, looking at how we can connect back to nature. The whey protein, we have something in our store called Lifespa's Whey Pure, which is a undenatured, unheated protein powder from New Zealand. It's really cool. And that stimulates GLP-1, just like we talked about, reduces appetite, improves postprandial glucose spikes. So it keeps your blood sugar stable and the GLP-1. Oats are also soluble, like another soluble fiber that actually slows the digestive process of the sugars and also increases GLP-1. Blueberries are also really cool. And they have anthocyanins that improve GLP-1 secretion and reduce your glucose uptake as well, which is kind of cool. You've all heard of resveratrol, the red wine active ingredient, and they found that administration of resveratrol for 5 weeks reduced the development of glucose intolerance, increased portal vein concentrations of both GLP-1 and a active form of GLP-1. So resveratrol is actually something that you can take as a pill. We have a powder or a pill or a capsule, and we have a version of that at lifespa.com as well. Studies show that ginger tea can increase your GLP-1. After 4 weeks of ginger, GLP-1 dramatically increased, as did the glucose-stimulated insulin secretion, and improved your glucose tolerance, your ability to handle the glucose. Now, in Ayurveda, there's an herb called warm digest that we have at lifespa.com, and that's ginger, black pepper, and long pepper. And all three of those together are ones that activate the stimulation of your digestive fire, your Agni, your stomach acid. And that is your first protective barrier. If you don't have good stomach acid, which a lot of folks don't, because stress will decrease your stomach acid, your stomach, which is your protective acid barrier, so no bad stuff gets through and no good stuff gets through without being properly broken down, that means that you have an open door, and anybody and everybody can go right in through pathogens, viruses, bacteria, fungi, candida, you name it. They can get into your gut and re-irritate the gut lining and cause inflammation in your gut. And what's interesting is that your gut, according to Ayurveda, is the seat of your nervous system, the seat of Vata. So they understood thousands of years ago that the health of your intestinal lining was the source of the stability of your nervous system, your mood, your energy, your vitality, your clarity. So now, only thousands of years later, do we have the research that shows that 95% of your serotonin produced in your gut. Other neurotransmitters produced in your gut. And that they call the gut now the second brain, which really should be the first brain because there's more neurons down there than even up here, but they call it the second brain. So the idea of keeping your gut healthy, the environment of your gut healthy, by eating seasonal food in this way, provides you with a powerful antidote to the drivers of stress, which is all about keeping the environment, the microbiome, the gut healthy by the right foods at the right time. And a strong stomach acid is the first step in that process of having a good environment in your intestinal tract. That happens only when your stomach is doing the right thing, cooking the food, the proteins properly, producing enough acid to emulsify bacteria, viruses that don't belong there. So that's ginger. It could be ginger tea with your meals. If you want to take a capsule, we have something called Warm Digest, which is a natural booster of your own stomach acid. It doesn't just give you hydrochloric acid pill that does it for you. Ayurveda is all about giving you herbs to stimulate the production of your own acid, your own enzymes, as opposed to taking enzymes or taking acid. Of course, they can be fine as a medicine, but you got to use them as a understanding the traditional definition of a medicine. You get on it, you get better, and you get off. Sadly, in our culture today, medicines have become life sentences. Take the enzymes for the rest of your life. Take the blood pressure medicine for the rest of your life. It's not the Ayurvedic way at all. Another GLP-1 activator is an Ayurvedic herb that's used for blood sugar stability called Gymnema sylvestre, also called the Gurmar, which translates as the sugar destroyer. It's a really cool herb. If you take it, put it on your tongue, eat a Snickers bar, you can't taste a Snickers bar. It's just so funny. I used to do this when I would teach herbal medicine. You just, pass around herb, people would taste it and then try to figure out what that herb might do in their body based on the taste. Then I would give them this herb, put it on their tongue. Then I would pass around their little chocolate kisses or something like that, and they would eat it, and then I would pass around the garbage can, so they would spit out that herb because it blocks the uptake of the sweet taste, both in your mouth and in your stomach, and forces the body to burn fat as a source of fuel, both in your mouth as well as in your upper stomach. And studies show, in 2023, involving diabetic rats, administering Gymnema, the major ingredient in our formula called Sugar Destroyer, for 28 days, observed increased insulin levels and elevated proglucagon gene activation in the gut. And since GLP-1 is derived from proglucagon, this suggests that gymnema might boost your GLP-1. So I use this sugar destroyer herb as a way to balance blood sugar, which it does really well, but also it's a natural agent. And it's in one of our Colorado Cleanse, which is a booster for that part of the digestion. Another blood sugar stabilizing herb that's been shown to be a powerful booster of GLP-1 is berberine. Berberine has been shown to activate the AMPK, which is the enzyme that actually drives mitochondrial energy, and it's a key regulator in energy metabolism. Now, while it doesn't stimulate GLP-1 directly, its effect on glucose metabolism and insulin sensitivity are comparable to some GLP-1 receptor agonists. So it's actually been very successfully used as a way to boost GLP-1 indirectly as opposed to directly, but it still is one of the powerful ones to talk about. You know, avocado oils, olive oils, also really good. The soluble fiber, one of my favorite one that I love is a combination of slippery elm, licorice, and marshmallow root, and that you can make a tea and just drink it. Or we have a formula called slippery elm prebiotic where it's just the chopped version of slippery elm, licorice, and marshmallow. It comes in a big container. You can make it yourself, equal parts. Put it in a pot, boil it down, make thick, viscous tea, sip it all day like the Pepto-Bismol commercial, coating your whole upper digestion, stomach, small, large intestine, with this natural prebiotic soluble fiber slime, which is pretty cool as a way to give you that benefit. High fiber whole wheat has been shown to be a GLP-1 activator. Of course, nuts and seeds do that. Black tea will do that. Green tea will do that. Cinnamon will do that. Studies show that cinnamon may improve insulin sensitivity and has been studied as a GLP-1 activator. And turmeric has also been shown to be a powerful GLP-1 booster. And it increases the secretion of GLP-1 induced by one of the active ingredients called curcumin that may allow dosages of other diabetic medicines to be reduced in aid of preventing diabetes. So that's what the studies show. That's powerful. And the other herbs that are really good for thinking about just weight loss in general, if your intestinal tract is a little bit sluggish, think about doing triphala after every meal, which will scrub your villi of your intestinal tract and clean house. I had a woman came to me, and we got about, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. And she came in, she said, I came to you like 10 years before, I've been around for a while. And she said, I did everything you said and I lost 50 pounds. And I go, what did I tell you to do? And she said, you told me to take 2 capsules of your triphala after every meal. And I did it religiously. I didn't do anything else. I lost 50 pounds. Now, I don't know. That was 10 years in the making. I don't know if that's all she really did, but she did lose 50 pounds. And she completely said it was the triphala that did it. Well, triphala has been shown to balance your metabolic syndrome, create a tonification of your gut, clean the villi, restore healthy function of the intestinal tract. It's not a laxative. There's just 3 fruits that have a tendency to heal the lining of the intestinal tract, pull the villi, the mucus off the villi, and create a more effective peristaltic reaction. That's what those fruits do. A couple of capsules after a meal. If you feel like you need more intestinal support, that's a great way to do it. The other Ayurvedic herb is called Gugal. We have something called Gugaline that's been shown historically used in Ayurveda to help people lose weight. But what it does, and the mechanisms for that, is that it actually increases thyroid function. It detoxifies your thyroid gland. As we get older, our thyroid function does, and metabolic, you know, function does dial down. So actually keeping that thyroid detoxified and stimulating the thyroid can be a smart way to go preventatively, because your thyroid gland, according to many, many studies, is the most vulnerable organ to environmental pollutants and toxins, heavy metals. 70 million tons of toxic chemicals into our atmosphere every year, according to the EPA, and your thyroid takes the brunt of that. So your thyroid is a very delicate organ to environmental pollutants. So that's why you kind of want to do eat pure, have clean air in your home, and you know, not smoke anything, because that's just more toxins into your into your system and doing things that help your thyroid function as you get older is not a bad idea. All right, so that's that. You guys are probably getting tired, but there's more to this, and I want to talk a little bit about the benefits of meditation. Meditation has been shown to be a GLP-1 activator. If you can de-stress, your GLP-1 can be increased. So there's an article that I'm linking to this, or a video that I'm linking to this article on the 1 minute meditation, which is just 30 Bhastrika breaths, followed by 30 seconds of being still. It takes 1 minute. The research shows that it'll actually activate about 15 minutes of parasympathetic rest and rejuvenative dominance, and therefore tell your body the war's over, and that gives you that calm effect that triggers the GLP-1. Remember, you calm the nervous system down with foods, doing a daily oil massage on your body with Ayurvedic oils. We have lymphatic oils that you can put in the shower. Just put a little bit on your hand after you clean yourself and rub it all over your body. That oil has a dampening effect on your sensory nervous system, on your skin. That calming of that sensory stimulation tells the body the war is over, and therefore I can relax and trigger my natural production of, hey, the war is over, I can now burn the fat. And the mechanisms of that, one of the mechanisms is increased GLP-1. Meditation, similarly, you sit down and meditate, be still, you can also activate your GLP-1 according to the science, and that's written up here in this article here. And also, so you watch that video on the 1 minute meditation. Also, we have a 6-week meditation course called the Transformational Awareness Meditation Course, where you learn how to meditate in a 6 weeks process. So that's something, if you want to learn, get a deeper dive into meditation, that's also available for you as well. And then the other piece of the puzzle is detoxification. And in Ayurveda, detoxification was not about just detox. It asked the question, why did you get toxic in the first place? Your digestive system is a detoxification system. And if you don't digest well, you don't detox well. So if you can troubleshoot your digestion and go, hey, you know what? I don't eat this, I don't eat that. I bubble wrap my diet. I take foods out of my diet because if I eat them, I feel bad. Well, you haven't fixed anything. So when you hear people on the website say, well, I don't eat this and I don't eat that. I don't eat broccoli. I don't eat tomatoes. I don't eat zucchini. I don't eat nuts. I don't eat grains. I don't eat nightshades. I don't eat goji berries. I don't eat wheat, dairy, nuts, seeds, grains. All these foods, think twice. That means that they don't have strong digestion, which means they don't have strong detoxification. So they're taking charcoal to do the detoxify them. That's not how our body was designed. It was designed to function in a way that you digest well because you detoxify well, the same pathways. So be careful when people start telling you to stop eating XYZ. Of course, if you feel bad eating a food, don't eat it. But that's a canary in the coal mine. Tell your body, hey, you know what? I gotta go figure out what part of my digestion is broken and fix it. And I have a free on my website, it's called the Digestive Health Quiz. You take it, it asks questions about your stomach, your liver, your gallbladder, pancreas, duodenum, small intestine, large intestine, lymphatic system, and you can feel which part of your system is broken and then fix it. And my book, Eat Wheat, was all about in a more expanded way, a troubleshooting guide for fixing your digestion as opposed to blaming it all on the wheat, which we've done. Let's kind of look a little bit deeper into the research and find that wheat is a GLP-1 activator. I'm not talking about processed wheat or glyphosate-rich wheat. I'm talking about grains in general have been shown in study after study to be very useful. We've been eating them for 3.5 million years. All of a sudden they're bad. Is it really the wheat that's the problem? Or maybe we have a broken down digestive system and we're paying a price for that. So that's something to be, you know, understand. And then in Ayurveda, we have Ayurveda cleanses that you can do at home. Our easiest one to do is called the Short Home Cleanse. It's a free ebook. You download it for free. You eat, you take a little bit of ghee every morning, or if you don't want to do ghee, you can do olive oil, every day for 4 days. You eat a completely clean diet of rice and beans. We recommend eating khichdi. There's a couple of herbs you can take, and we have the Ayurvedic kit you can buy from our store, or I give you in the ebook alternative herbs that you can get at your local health food store and not buy any of it from us. You get the ebook for free, it's all for free. It's really cool. Do something to help facilitate a strengthening of your digestion, a forcing of the body to burn fat and detoxify. That's what every Ayurvedic cleanse is about. It's about helping the body become a better fat burner, because we stink at that because of the stress we're under. Tells the body, store fat, crave more sugar, right? That's what our brain does. I want that instant fix because I'm being chased by a bear. I gotta get up a tree. I gotta save my life. This is an emergency situation, right? So that's what we wanna deal with, is that stress. And that's what the Short Home Cleanse is, a 4-day free ebook. Our second free ebook is called the Kaya Kalpa Cleanse. It's a 5-day more intense detox. So if you're a seasoned cleanser, but you want to take something, take a deeper dive based on studies that show that this can actually increase your stem cell activation and employ deep, deep rejuvenation, then this is called the Kaya Kalpa Cleanse. And you can get that on my website. Again, a free ebook. The difference between this one is it's a retreat cleanse where you do yoga, breathing, meditation, self-inquiry, and you do this cleanse that uses the exact amount of proteins, fats, and carbohydrates that were proven by Dr. Walter Longo, who wrote The Fasting Mimicking Diet, which was a 5-day detox that's been shown to, if the right amount of proteins and fats and carbohydrates, it's calorie restricted though, that would activate stem cell activation in just 5 days. And the Ayurvedic cleanse, the Short Home Cleanse, was so close to that that I decided to create a cleanse called Kaya Kalpa, which is the original and traditional deep retreat rejuvenation where your body would be fully rejuvenated after a period of time. And that is a free ebook as well. You can download it at lifespa.com. It's all for free. And then we have our sort of our kind of flagship cleanse called the Colorado Ayurvedic Cleanse, which is a 14 digestive reset, liver cleanse, lymph detox, heal the intestinal environment, change your microbiome, and detoxify toxins out of your fat cells. And all these studies, scoop cleanses, have been shown to pull heavy metals out of your deep tissues. And in one study, pretty much exactly what the Colorado Ayurvedic cleanse is like, there's 14 days, there's a 4-day kind of warm-up, a reboot of your digestion, 7 days of the actual Ayurvedic taking the ghee and detoxing, and a three-day digestive reset at the end. So you don't crave chocolate chip cookies when you finish the cleanse. It's the idea is you kind of bring the digestion back up at the end. And that 7-day ghee cleanse with ghee and khichdi or rice and beans has been shown to detoxify PCBs by 46% and pesticides out of your deep tissues by 56% compared to the folks who didn't do that cleanse. So we have really good science that this idea of taking a little bit of ghee while you're actually eating a no-fat diet, you take the ghee in the morning and no fat during the day in a really clean diet, and each cleanse has its own different dietary, you know, regimens and guidelines. But when you do that, you get the body into fat burning with the ghee, and then you stay in fat burning all day long if you don't eat any fat. You eat fat, your body's going to burn dietary fat, and you want to burn your fat, detoxify your fat cells. And that's called lipophilic-mediated detox. It's a Western understanding of how to force the body to pull heavy metals out of your deep tissues by giving you a trigger for fat metabolism, and the ghee being sort of a chelator to go into your tissues and attach to those fats and pull them out of your deep tissues. And that's a great way. In our studies with the Colorado Cleanse, which is the 14-day version, people lose on average, and we've been tracking this for over 15 years, 10 to 17 pounds during that 2-week period of time. And the cool thing is that it isn't like temporary. It's you actually really find yourself resetting function, digestive function, lymph function, liver function, and you detoxified a lot of toxins, you reset that reason why you got overweight or toxic or tired or lethargic in the first place. So it's a really great way to do it. And there's tons of information on my website about that, links to doing that as well. Okay, so I'm gonna wrap up. I'm gonna give you talk about the study that I did back in 2000. And we had about, I think it was 13 women, five men, 18 people finished the cleanse. It was an 8-week cleanse detox study where they would do something very simple. They would just changed really when they ate their food. Now in Ayurveda, eating always had to do with three things: how, when, and what. What, seasonal eating, we talked about that to a certain extent. How, always in a relaxed way, is ideal. Even where has been shown to increase your ability to digest and assimilate your food. If you eat in a cold cafeteria compared to a really nice, warm, cozy environment, same food, studies show, this is an elderly folks who were trying to put muscle mass on, the ones they ate in a comfy environment, same exact food, boosted their muscular strength, their weight gain, and their strength and stamina compared to the folks who ate the same exact food, but in the kind of cold metal, cold cafeteria. So where the environment makes a difference as well. But in this study, I focused on when to eat. Pretty simple, just did that. And so we asked them to eat a breakfast big enough to get them to lunch, the biggest meal of the day and big enough to get them to supper, and supper a smaller meal, earlier meal before 6 o'clock with no snacks. And that was what we had them do. And every week we met and we gave them a questionnaire every week to see how they were doing. And they freaked out because they were wanting their snacks. They couldn't just have a breakfast and a lunch and a supper with no snacks. But after the second week, they started stabilizing their blood sugar. They were off the roller coaster ride of the sugar going up and down, up and down. They now were burning fat in between the meals. Fat's your calm fuel, your stable fuel, your GLP-1 fuel. And they started facilitating a calm and therefore not the emergency store fat crave sugar response. And they started losing weight. And I'll dive into how they did that in more detail in just a second, but let me just read to you some of the results. It was way beyond weight loss. The average person in the study wanted to lose about 10 to 30 pounds. On average, they lost 1.1 pound per week. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot, but this extrapolated to 57.2 pounds per year. Now, here was the magical part. It wasn't just weight loss that they felt better doing this. 11 out of the 12 subjects with anxiety noticed significant decrease in just 19 days. 16 out of the 17 subjects with cravings noticed a significant decrease in cravings in just 15 days. 16 out of the 17 subjects with fatigue noticed significant decrease in fatigue in 14 days. 12 out of the 13 subjects with insomnia noticed significant decrease in insomnia in 15 days. 9 out of 10 with depression saw a significant decrease in depression in 16 days. 11 out of 14 subjects were overweight noticed significant weight loss in 15 days. 7 out of the 18 subjects who felt generally healthy felt healthier in 15 days. And 13 out of the 14 subjects who came home from work tired and exhausted came home less tired and exhausted in just 12 days. So it usually took about 2 weeks for all these benefits to kick in, depending on each person's, you know, questionnaire and when they did the questionnaire. So here's what I had them do. Basically, phase one, and you can all do this, and start eating. You can take that, download that winter grocery list. I gave you a list in this article of all the GLP-1 foods, and you can add some of the herbs to that if you like as well. Circle the foods on that winter grocery list, and definitely the ones that are more tied to these GLP-1 activators. Eat those foods. And the first phase of this study was eat a breakfast big enough to get you to lunch, have a nice bigger lunch, and have a soup or a salad for supper. So make sure that your supper is light, okay? And if you can do a soup or salad for supper, and it doesn't matter when in phase one, then if that's comfortable for you, remember, comfortable means no stress. No stress means GLP-1. No GLP-1 means you're going to burn fat better. So you can't stress or starve in any of the cleanses we're talking about or any of these weight loss has to be a natural process. Phase two, if phase one is easy and it takes a while to get it to be easy, once it's easy, you can go to phase two, which is have your supper done before 6 o'clock at night. And then after 6 o'clock, just liquids. It can be, you know, water. It can be a kind of even a vegetable juice. It can be herbal tea, maybe with a little bit of honey even is okay to get you into the night and do that. Ultimately, getting yourself to be more on the water side of things. And if you can get that phase two to be comfortable, you're having a breakfast, a nice big lunch, and then supper before 6 o'clock and the evening, just liquids, then you can go to phase three. Phase three, skip supper. Completely skip supper. So a breakfast big enough to get you lunch, lunch big enough to get you to supper, but you're not gonna eat supper and you're gonna fast from lunch all the way till breakfast the next day. Sort of the original Ayurvedic intermittent fasting approach. And this is important because the research shows now that this Ayurvedic way is the actual right way to align your biological clocks and nature's circadian rhythms. Having no breakfast and then lunch and supper and having that be your eating window is sort of goes against your biological clocks and which are trying to turn off at sunset for digestion. So we're sort of, you lose some weight and it can work, for sure, it can work. But when you're trying to bring your body into balance long-term, you wanna align your clocks. And this is not a life sentence, this is just that your weight loss period where you have a breakfast, a lunch, and no supper. Now, to hack this, make it a little bit easier, you know, wake up, go exercise, do some yoga, go for a walk, drink some water, have your breakfast at 10, have your lunch at 2 or 3, and if you have a nice big lunch at 2 or 3, you're not going to be as hungry in the evening, and you can drink water in the evening, even a little bit of herb tea and honey if you need it to get through the night without eating something that breaks your fast. And then you can start losing weight. And I generally suggest do that plan for 2 to 4 weeks. If you find like one day you just gotta eat supper for whatever reason, fine. You know, 3 to 7 days a week, try to skip supper. That's the plan. That's what's written here in this article for you as well. So it's super simple. After 2 to 4 weeks of doing that, then you just go back to eating a breakfast, a lunch, and an earlier supper the very best you can. If you ever gain weight, you always know you can stop eating supper a couple of nights a week to get your body back into fat burning, to get your body to lose those extra pounds and keep that ideal weight that you're looking for, okay? And I'm gonna wrap this up with a story. He was my 525-pound patient and he wanted to lose weight. And I told him, I said, look, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to have breakfast big enough to get you to lunch and to make lunch a big, big meal and then nothing for supper. And he thought I was crazy, but he went home and did that. Coming back a few days later and he said, man, this is amazing. I actually didn't think this would work, but I have a, you know, small breakfast, but then at lunch I go to an Italian restaurant. I actually order three entrees and I pig out at lunchtime. And then I'm so stuffed at dinner, I don't even want to eat my popcorn that I normally would sit there and watch TV and snack and snack and snack. I don't even want that, so I don't eat. Because you had that big meal when the body can actually cook the food. Your circadian rhythms, biological clocks for digestion, turn on in the middle of the day and turn off at sunset. He lost 63 pounds in 3 months and doing just that. And he eventually got down to just over 300. He was 6'4", a very big guy. That was a huge amount of weight loss for him. And he did really well simply by changing when he ate his food. And so when you tie the when you eat with the how you eat, with the what you eat, GLP-1 activators to reset your body's message that I'm calm and I can now burn my fat versus store it, you start going on, getting on track for, and the meditation to turn off the constant incoming of stress that we live in this culture. It's this constant go, 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 go. We have to turn that off. Prayer, meditation, going for a walk in the woods. We have to take time to still the nervous system. That's a very important piece of the puzzle. Do some seasonal detox, or during the summer months, do some detox. To help reset digestive function, clean out the body's trash, lose a few extra pounds, kind of a shortcut for that. But it's more than just the weight loss. It's a reset of the function of your digestion, intestinal lining, your liver, and your lymph, all critically important for optimal health. All right, you guys, I hope you enjoyed all this. I'm sorry for that it went on so long, but there's a lot to talk about in this very hot topic of Ozempic and people getting on it and losing muscle mass and really just doing the job for the body and ending up less able to do the job for themselves down the road. And that's what I really believe in Ayurveda. We don't have to be a weaker digester when we get older. We don't have to get sick when we get older. You know, Ayurveda is all about keeping this body functioning, helping the body do the job itself versus doing the job for the body with pills and powders that end up, you know, making you dependent on that. And eventually the next one and the next drug and the next thing and the next thing. And we kind of throw in the towel of our body being able to pull this off on its own, which we can do. All right. Thanks for listening. Check out the article associated with this video at lifespa.com. And thanks for listening. Hi, everybody. I just want to take a minute and tell you what we do here at lifespa.com. You know, I've been in practice now for 40 years, 38 of them have been practicing Ayurvedic medicine full time. For the last 20 years, I've been writing articles and doing videos on the ancient medical wisdom of Ayurveda with the modern science. You know, if something's been around for 1,000 years, still practiced today, and you have modern science to prove it, boy, I really feel like that's something we should all be taking a look at. And that's what we do at lifespa.com. And all that information is for free. So just go to lifespa.com and search in your health topic, and you'll get the information, the article that you need, hopefully that will help you. While you're there, check out our Ayurvedic store. You can get there through lifespa.com or go to store.lifespa.com. And there we have all of our organic Ayurvedic herbs, organic skincare line, more books, tapes, knowledge that we give you is all there at our store. All of our cleansing kits are there in our store. All of our herbs are whole herbs with the natural occurring microbiome, the way it came out of the soil. And that's critically important because if I took the bugs out of you, you'd be completely different. We take the bugs away from a plant, like sterilizing and making an extract or spraying your food with pesticides, you lose significant benefit of that plant. And that's why we use the whole plant with the natural occurring microbiome. So check us out, learn more about what we're doing here at lifespa.com, and we'll see you again.
This recording is brought to you by LifeSpa, where ancient Ayurvedic wisdom meets modern science. Get access to free health video newsletters by Dr. John at LifeSpa.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.